Excellent. Well, after a bit of a brief hiatus, it's good to be back in the slot for Sunday school again. It's been a bit of a while since we've touched on our previous topics. I think it's been months. I don't know exactly how long, but certainly it's my joy to be back here with you all again, exploring this new avenue. I would say new. It's not necessarily a brand new issue, but new in our articulation of it this week, and quite a depth of a topic as I've seen this week, just looking at the wealth of resources that are out there on both sides of this issue. So if this is your first time with a Sunday school class with myself teaching, this will be kind of a segue off of our old topic from the last classes, which, if you were with us, we were looking at the Christian mind. How do we think Christianly through the lens of God's Word in a Christian biblical worldview? How do we think about issues like the sphere of the individual and individual accountability and individual liberty, and also within the family sphere or context? What are the authority structures within that sphere that God has put in place, and likewise, what are the boundaries to it? And then we moved on to the church, and we looked at different systems of government, made a biblical assertion, and also now, I think our last class was on baptism, if I'm not mistaken. And so this class, like I said, we're going to segue off a little bit, not necessarily looking at the authority of the church per se, but this week looking at an issue facing the church. And that's wokeness. Wokeness facing the church. I don't know a whole lot of this age's terminology. I think this one started small and has absolutely expanded. Wokeness. And I'm going to give you a proper definition of what that might look like, especially as it pertains to the church. But wokeness in general, which is really this understanding of an awareness to cultural, socioeconomic issues and injustices in the world. Getting woke, being aware of those issues. So the woke church, I want to give you a definition as we begin. It might be hard to write it all down because it's a bit weighty. But come and talk to me after if you want to get this definition from me. This is Owen Strain, and just correct me, I originally mispronounced his name, Strachan, but I believe it's Owen Strain. Is that correct? One more time? Strain. Okay, I'm going to get this right. So Owen Strain, solid brother in the faith, gives this definition in his book on what wokeness is. We're just going to start off on this footing and then move from here. He says, wokeness is the state of being consciously aware of and awake to the hidden race-based injustices that pervade all of American society. He says this term has also been expanded to refer to the state of being awake to injustices that are gender-based, class-based, etc. So it's a pretty big definition, but I want you to narrow in on those words. Consciously aware or awake to hidden, I would highlight, race-based injustices. And they use the word pervade all of American society. Now, it's going to be hard for us to just to cut that open in the first class. We're going to do that in the later classes. But just notice that key wording as we go through this first class and just assess the subtleties of wokeness, why this is a negative thing. So, to clarify, on the side of that definition, right before we begin, you know, you notice the term in that definition, race-based injustices. I don't think anybody here is going to argue that the church is against race-based injustices. Of course, we are against the proper term of racism as sinful. But what you're going to notice as we look at these key areas of the issue of wokeness as it comes and seeps into the church is it really doesn't have a whole lot to do with a more proper definition of racism, which is really just hatred based upon someone's ethnicity. This is much different, much, much different. And because of that, you'll notice language, even given in Owen Strand's definition, that what's being talked about and what we'll look at is generally whiteness. Just whiteness and all that's wrapped up into that. We're going to look at that together. But a racism that's wrapped up just by simply being white. And not only that, but this racism doesn't just come to the individual, it's social. So this whiteness, this racist behavior, injustices pervade an entire system of civilization, and unsuspectingly. So you can't really notice it. You got to get awake to it. You got to get woke to what's really wrong about society, what's really wrong about you as a white person, or even being affected or privileged by whiteness. Now, if you're confused at my language, don't worry about it, because we're going to look at this together. It is confusing. That's the nature of this entire subject, is a lot of time when people are asked what does wokeness means, we're not really sure. We're thrown in loops by our culture, by what wokeness actually is. But hold on to those key terms as we move on. And this is sort of, I clarify, brothers and sisters, is sort of just an introductory class. What I want to do in the time that I have, if it's a little bit shorter in our allotment here at this space, I just want to open your eyes a little bit to this entire issue of wokeness. If this is something you're not really aware of, hopefully this class will just kind of whet your appetite for the subject as we then go into more of the nitty-gritty of the subject in later classes. But if you are, watching current media, aware of what's going on in the world, or if you have at all caught recent advertisements in Canadian and American society, then this is going to be no stranger to you. Maybe the culture certainly doesn't say we're woke, not all the time, sometimes it does, but it's everywhere. It's this woke culture. Being woke is everything TV, it's everything advertisement, it's everything politics, it's everything work-related, even with classes being offered on this. This seemed to have radically shifted the media approaches the entire public, or even politics approaches the entire public, or what is popular among everyone. You notice sensitive language used on TV and on the news, aware language, careful stepping over cultural issues that are woke, because they're woke, in essence. So I'm sure you've seen this, whether it be hearing about Coca-Cola's work classes or even just advertisements all over the television. It's everywhere. There's a push today. In some ways, you'd have to be blind to it not to see it, but a push to vocalize and advocate awareness on past and pervading present injustices in these areas of gender, right? Areas of female reproductive rights, areas of race and past slavery, and how that continues today. And you know what's really unique is there's this blacklisting and removal of anything historical or anything historically accomplished by those demanded to be hateful, right? Remove it all. This wokeness means those areas of history that are offensive or are done in hate, we push away. I'm sure you've seen this, right? Statues are being torn down all over the place for those that have, in many parts, done great things, but because of this wokeness, they're blacklisted. And more on the individual personal level, there's an aggressive demand for approval, isn't there? An aggressive demand for approval, agreeance. You have to agree on woke issues, on such matters, lest one be negatively labeled, isolated, lose one's job, and what we're going to get at more close to home, be mocked, slandered, pushed aside, lose rights as a church, even, lest you get woke to current cultural issues. And if you got questions, brothers and sisters, just because of our time, just ask you to hold questions and comments. If we do have some time at the end, I'll give some time for you guys to ask those or make your comments before we finish as well. So with all this stuff with wokeness prevailing in our culture today, the difficult part is, I guess the worst part, the really, really bad part about all this is it's no longer strange to witness a similar wokeness beginning to seep and make its way into the church. Into the church as a function, what they do, how they worship, what they say, how they pray. And I think that's the real horrendous part of it, is that it's beginning to prevail. A wokeness in the church. And especially when it comes from the mouths of those that we commonly knew have given a solid gospel. Those who previously were trusted, wrote great books, are now touting some of the same agenda. Now, I'm going to read some quotes for you in case, again, this is a bit of a blur. Just to get an idea, notice the language given in some of these biblical teachers. You can just sit back for a second. And again, notice the language that they use. I'm going to give you quite a bit. This is Pastor Matt Chandler of Village Church. He says, one of the firms that's helping us find men said, let me ask you a question, Pastor Matt. If we find an Anglo 8 and an African American 7, which one do you want? I said, I want the African American 7. And he said, if we find an Anglo 8 and an African American 6, then I said, then give me the Anglo 8 because the African American 6 will look and feel to our people like the kind of tokenism that I'm preaching against. And again, it's subtle. It's subtle, but notice it as we go through. More from him as well. I have grown up, he says, with this invisible bag of privilege, this kind of invisible tool that I can reach in there at any given moment and have this type of privilege that a lot of other brothers and sisters don't have. So he goes on to say, so white privilege isn't over racism, right? Instead, it's just this unique kind of experience of life in predominant culture. It's Matt Chandler. Speaking on American society today, Pastor Russell Moore, commonly known in Southern Baptist conventions and like manner, he says, is riddled, again, speaking of American society, is riddled with division, riddled with racism, riddled with injustice, riddled often with hatred for one another, and often infected with a kind of racism and a kind of racial animosity that is more subtle than it would have been at other points in American history, which means it could be even more dangerous. What would you rather have, a cancer that you know about or a cancer that is undetectable because it's hidden? Now, David Platt of McLean Bible Church says this. I want to sacrifice more of my preferences as a white pastor. I need to grow in my laying aside of preferences for members of this body because I want Christ to be exalted through increasing diversity in our leadership and our membership. On a related note, I do not want to speak on issues that are popular among white followers of Christ while staying silent in the Bible on issues that are important to non-white followers of Christ. That's not faithful pastoring. Goes on to say, we cannot truly worship God while we stay silent on injustice in all kinds of areas. And I know as a white pastor, I have blind spots, so I am part of the problem. It's unfortunate. Jonathan Lehman, editor and director of Nine Marks, he says, identity politics does not offer an alternative truth to the Bible, but it does point to people's experiences, which sometimes might help us to see things that are in our Bible a little better, a little more clearly. Now, I have more quotes, but I'm just going to spare you and finish with one last one. This is a little bit closer to home. Assistant professor of sociology at Ambrose University in Calgary, Minetta Bailey, who I would add openly professes to be a critical race theorist, wrote an article post-George Floyd, which was titled, "Is Your Church Truly Anti-Racist?" Okay? And she includes five things for churches. Some of them just blend in with not being that bad, but focus on the real pinpoints for wokeness. Number one, churches must be truly anti-racist. Number two, individuals must focus on their actions. Number three, churches must engage in difficult conversations about racism with humility. But then number four, conversations about change must be led by racialized people. And number five, if you don't have a racialized friend, this is a problem. Find one! Exclamation mark. So, in reading that, I'm sure there are certain points that you can pinpoint and say, oh yeah, okay, that stands out really, really woke. But some of the confusion around their language comes because it's tricky, isn't it? Sometimes it's tricky to pinpoint exactly what is wrong about what they're saying because it comes sincerely, but at the same time uses a lot of the language from those in this woke movement. And it's honestly, that's just it. It's hard to pinpoint what exactly is wrong a lot of times about what these people are saying. In other cases, it's just bare obvious. I've given you the strong ones, but nonetheless, these and many others, you have to be careful. And this is just it. This is really part and parcel of the problem. Many of us have been followers of these that I mentioned, which makes it that much more difficult, with strong ministries, strong influences, good books in the past. But now what's difficult is now they seem to be trumpeting a whole new set of values and interpretations to some of the same language previously they used to use that we had no problem with. Why is it now that all of a sudden these core doctrines have all these other hoops that we have to jump through, all these other variables to what is right or what is actual justice or what is real reconciliation or what is real sin or a biblical worldview? It's subtle, and it's inserted into their old language that we've been used to. And I think that's the difficulty. And now I want to come back to that and touch on that as we narrow in on the issue with wokeness together. But I kind of want to look at the progression along some of, I mean, you're looking at these quotes, and some of it's really unexpected and far left field. So how did we get here? What is some of the process that's really led up to this point where we have some of these bold-faced comments saying some of these men, I don't have the right to teach on these issues to suffering people who've been, I guess, at the negative hand of injustice. I'm a white pastor. How did we get here? And why has it been in so many? Why is it now in so many evangelical circles? It's impossible to cover everything on this, but I want to just kind of give you a few main points that I've noticed that stood out in the process of coming to this culmination with some of these quotes. Firstly, I would argue really the foundation here is a rejection of God and His law, wholeheartedly. I'm not saying in particular that about these men. I want to be careful, we want to be sincere, we want to be gracious. But where we see wokeness in the culture, why is it now starting to seep into the church? Well, in society, a rejection of God and His law. This comes with changing standards for right and wrong and a progressive decline in truth that ultimately leads to absolutely putting it aside, rejecting it. And I would say really strongly, especially in the past 20, 30 years, this rejection of God and His law coming from the education system. As God is rejected in major universities and schools, now it's filled in. They've traded the truth for a lie, and godless worldviews and ideologies take their place and are taught. This is a major emphasis, especially from the 60s, 70s onward, highlighted into the 80s and 90s, and now we have it explosive. And I would argue it's more articulate with this generation because it's that much stronger from the education system today. So these ideologies, when God's creation biblical truth is put aside, when we trade God's law, his existence, for non-existence, we embrace what is false. And this is the minds of people that are depraved embracing false truth. And it prevails among those ideologies heavily circulated with a Marxist worldview. And really, Marxism is what's prevailing, what really undergirds wokeness today. Now, I'm going to look at that, especially next class. But again, as I mentioned, this worldview started in the 60s, 70s. You had major movements, Roe versus Wade. And I would argue a lot of this wokeness was a motivating factor with that as well. Gender identity, the crisis with homosexuality, wokeness. And again, a Marxist worldview prevailed into our culture today. And so those have developed to the point where now they are massively prevailing. They prevail in culture, and now they have made many, many, many inroads into the church. And on a side note, I think a big difficulty for the church on this is approaching, even as we did in this class originally, where we see wrongly the divide between the spiritual and the secular. The church hasn't really done part of its duty to speak into the world, to be a prophetic voice to that which is wrong based upon Scripture. So again, coming back, brothers and sisters, wokeness has fueled the feminism movement, abortion, gender, sexuality, and this has developed into what we have now. Now let's come close to home, a little bit more recent, as this has grown. I think especially we see it coming into the church. I think what was highlighted in my research for sort of the linchpin or the beginning part of where this started to prevail is agreed upon by both Scott David Allen. He wrote Why Social Justice is Not Biblical Justice, and Owen Strand, author of Christianity and Wokeness. They both agree, and they attribute most of the woke movement's inroads to a speech by a lady named Michelle Higgins at the 2015 InterVarsity Christian Fellowship Mission Conference. This had commonly been a place where wokeness had started to make an inroad, but this really was a defining feature. And she's not the start, but I think her speech made a lot of waves in evangelicalism when she boldly rebuked the church for its adultery, she says, with white supremacy, calling on the church to confess its sin of whiteness. And part and parcel to her speech, she actually encouraged evangelicals to get behind Black Lives Matter, saying it was a movement on mission in the truth of God. Now, keep in mind, this is an InterVarsity Conference on Missions in 2015. This is prior to everything that we've seen in the last little bit on wokeness and how it's made inroads. But this made headlines. This caused waves. This caused a lot of people to either get behind what she was saying or subtly reject it, but not openly quite yet. Because from here, you had in the next years following a lot of the similar language being used in evangelicalism. You had Christian books written with people getting massively aware. A huge one is Eric Mason's Woke Church. He wrote a book, really popular, that sought to hold white people accountable for racial injustice. If you want to look that up and get some of the quotes, it's Eric Mason's Woke Church, followed after. Yeah, Jamar Tisby's The Color of Compromise, which after that asserted white Christians in America have been complicit in racism against blacks throughout history. Now, right after that, some of you would be more familiar with this, you had the Martin Luther King 50th Anniversary Together for the Gospel Coalition Conference, where a lot of well-known pastors, a lot of well-known speakers kind of joined along that woke movement and used similar language to throw a similar rebuke at the church for its complicit whiteness and white supremacy. Now, there were some who pushed back, but nonetheless, this is a major conference where a lot of more well-known speakers joined the movement. And it got more apparent in evangelicalism up to the point where a more organized defense, which started to see that the evils of this woke movement, with men like John MacArthur and others, crafted up a statement on social justice and the gospel. I think, brothers and sisters, to touch on that, wokeness, I think, is becoming more popular as a term we would use for the church today. But the social justice movement is really the woke church, in a sense. And so men, obviously seeing the evils of this against the gospel, wrote the statement, although there was a lot of backlash against that statement as well. And really where you've seen that manifest is the awkwardness at a shepherd's conference in 2019, where a lot of strong men, I would say doctrinally, met and did a Q&A and publicly disagreed on why they did or did not sign the statement. And that really started to be where the lines were drawn. And so when it came to, I would say, what you're all waiting for, the great catalyst in 2020 with the death of George Floyd, that was really where the bomb blew up for wokeness. Massive public protests, massive mobs for BLM. This was the height, to many people, of racism in America, the height of white supremacy, the height of police brutality against those who are black. And the crowd was trumpeting, I'm sure you've heard this, silence is violence, right? And so for many of those church leaders who had already been using woke terminology, this was the point where they used the same terminology. Where when George Floyd was killed, you had Eric Mason, writer, author of The Woke Church, saying or tweeting that if evangelical leaders don't speak, they should question why they joined the ministry. He even said he was looking at their Twitter feeds, waiting for them to speak out. You had other leaders saying the same thing. Even some brothers and sisters, while their churches were closed for COVID, saying, go and march with Black Lives Matter. So it's a real mess with the woke church that have escalated from one point to another point to another point, where we have what we had in some of those comments I've given you, and those were even prior to right now. So some maybe even some of you here, but some people would argue, is this really a big issue in the church today? I mean, you know, if many of us haven't been aware and we don't really see their arguments been made, articulated that well, and we can really just kind of pinpoint those guys that have really joined the woke movement, isn't there greater things to focus our time and attention on as a church? Aren't there no bigger fish to fry for us, essentially? Is it really that bad, right? This is the question that we should answer when we look at the woke church. If it's not overt heresy, Alex, then is it worth devoting a long session of seminars to? Now, what really struck me, especially when Pastor Tim was actually in prison, was when we were at a rally. I can't remember if it was the first one or the second one. No, it was the first one, when James Coates, in an unprepared speech, actually said to everybody, the greatest horrible problem down the pike that's coming to the church is not COVID. It's not even, he didn't list gender issues or sexuality. He actually said CRT, critical race theory. He said that is the biggest problem. That is the biggest monster coming at the church next. And after, as I read on the subject, I found out John MacArthur wrote, and I quote, calls it the greatest threat to the gospel in his lifetime, in his entire lifetime. And John MacArthur has just faced COVID issues. I mean, he's faced lordship salvation in the past, the inerrancy of Scripture. And he calls this the greatest threat to the gospel in his entire life. Now, I believe fundamentally, brothers and sisters, wokeness is an affront, an absolute attack on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's unique. Unique for some of the reasons we've already pointed out, because it's sneaky, it distorts the core doctrines of the Christian faith. And what is so tricky about wokeness in the church is because it's so subtle. It's so subtle in its language. It seems so sincere and right and pursuing those things that are apparently biblical. But as I've studied this subject last week and weeks following, what I've found, the greatest weapon that makes this thing such a monster is, of course, it truncates the gospel completely. But how it does that is it uses the weapon of language. It uses the weapon, the unique weapon of language. It is subtle in its deception and terminology. It takes what is known under a theological term and, as I mentioned, introduces entirely new meanings to what is said. Variables, distinctives, as I mentioned, new applications that have never before been known. It is a absolute hijacking. I would call it that. Hijacking theological terms and then making them into something entirely different. And so this is what we're facing, brothers and sisters, is a whole new vocabulary for the Christian faith, which ultimately reduces the gospel to just about nothing. It reduces it to perpetual apologizing, not grace. And so we have a monster on the horizon. And the difficulty is many who have already been using this language who seem sincere and who, for the most part, have written books in the past that we trust. And Owen Strand comes alongside that. He says, built on CRT, critical race theory, wokeness uses theological language. And even the very system of Christian theology, albeit without any need for the grace of God. Wokeness, per Mackin, is thus in a distinct category. Catch that. From sound biblical doctrine. Wokeness, in its clearest terms, is not Christianity at all. That is why it is so dangerous. Where do we see this, friends? In the woke church. And in some of these movements, some of these churches that you and I know, which is so heart-wrenching, which is so heartbreaking. But we need to assess this for what it is, and we need to defend against it. Now, we have about 10 minutes left. I want us to look at Scripture together, brothers and sisters, to root what I've just said for the wokeness movement. Read or open up with me to Genesis 3. I want to pinpoint this with you. Genesis 3. Where do we see this? This attack on language. Nitpicky, tiny little detail language. I would argue this is Satan's game from the get-go. So let's read Genesis 3. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. It says, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God he had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Satan is the king of subtle half-truths, tiny deceptions, and twisting of Scripture, introducing new language, I would argue, whole new set of variables to what it really means to die. Will you really die? Are you sure you've got that definition right? Let me give you a new set of lenses to view what death really is. You're seeing it the wrong way. He's a word twister. This lie led to the fall of the entire human race, but Satan continues to use the same tricks today. We're no stranger to that, brothers and sisters. But this is why I see the horrendous nature of the woke church and why we need to be educated on it in its minute details. Because it is so tricky, because it is so subtle. And as that subtle hiss of the serpent in the language that I quoted to you before. You don't have to flip with me. But John 8:44, Jesus just undergirds this. You, speaking to the Pharisees, are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So this speaks, even in Jesus' statement, just undergirds the character and quality of Satan. The fact that he's going to disguise himself in Christian garb, right? An angel of light, as it were. The Pharisees altered the word here for their foolish desires, and I would say it's the same motivation. And Jesus called them out on it, brothers and sisters. And so I just want to reinforce this subtle deception of the language of the woke church, why it's such a problem. And so what's our best response here? What really guides us going forward as a class? What's our confidence? How do we respond? Jesus's, right? We have the greatest example of Scripture. Jesus. What did he say? What example did the King of Kings and Lord of Lords give to us in how to respond to issues like this? How to respond to Satan's false schemes and subtle twisting of Scripture? According to Matthew 4, Jesus' words to Satan in verse 4, 6, and 7. It is written, and again, it is written. It is written. That's going to be the fuel, brothers and sisters, in how we look at this subject going forward. When Satan's going to twist and deceive, when the world has its prevailing hands in the church, and Satan is working to twist the doctrines that we know of Scripture, we go back to the source. We're going to test it by Scripture. Whatever new movement, whatever false prophet, whatever new claims about the key elements of the gospel are, it's our job to the law, to go back to the law and to the testimony. That's what we're going to do. God's commandments, God's voice, that's going to be our response to the woke church. We have no other means and tools of reasoning. I don't want to get into just statistics or subtle worldly arguments to argue back to what we see in the world today. I want us to look at Scripture and compare what we have said there and what its applications are and what these new terminologies are or terms are and face it with the Word of God. So it couldn't be clearer, brothers and sisters, than what we see in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. You don't have to flip there, but it says, our admonition, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. It is a spiritual battle, brothers and sisters, a spiritual battle, one that we must go to the Word of God with, and we have the confidence, as 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us, that the Word is fully sufficient for teaching, for reproof, for correction, training, and righteousness and everything. And so we can look at that lens to assess what was said by this, where is wokeness prevailing, how do we combat it? So this is what we're going to do for the next few classes, is exactly that. This is our springboard for what we're going to look at. We're going to take some of the terminology used by the woke church, and we're going to assess it along the side of Scripture. We're going to take the doctrines of Scripture and look at what the woke church implies by those doctrines we're familiar with. What new variables have they added to justice, to man and sin, to atonement, to salvation? What does it mean through the lens of the woke church to have those things? So that when you hear the terms touted by this movement, where you get just that little inkling, oh wait, that's a twist. That's a twist from what I know from Scripture. You'll be able to combat it. So next class, before we actually start looking at those doctrines, we're going to give a bit of the underpinning for it, which is to look at the Marxist ideology. We're going to look at Marxism as a whole. Where did it start? Who made it? Karl Marx. And we'll look at what exactly it stands for as a movement. So we can start with those underpinnings and then move on into where we see that in the woke movement by false doctrines. Brothers and sisters, we are right out of time. I would love to open up for quick questions and comments. But if you have some, come and talk to me. We're going to break because we're going to begin worship at about 4:15. So if you want any of the quotes, you want any of the info, or you want some book references, some extra reading on the subject to prepare for these next classes, this was our intro, but come and talk to me after. So I hope that has whet your appetite for the future classes coming up. They're going to be quick and concise, but nonetheless, we'll get to as many issues in the woke church as we possibly can. So I'm going to close in a word of prayer, and then we can break for fellowship before we begin our worship service. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, we come before you through Christ, heavy, Lord, as we hear the words of many twisting what is known to be true from Scripture. Father, I pray as we look at this subject, give us grace. Help us to hold all things spoken to the Word of God. Help us to be diligent and meticulous as we open up the Word. And I pray, God, that you would make us that much more aware of your Word, that much more aware of wickedness coming into the church. Lord, I pray for those who have begun to use this language, those that we've even read quotes from. I pray that there would be repentance in the church today for this new ideology. God, work in the hearts of those to turn back unto Christ and sound doctrine. Oh God, give us grace, give us wisdom as we go forward and attend our worship gathering today. In Jesus' name, amen.